You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For the first time in 3 years, we got a MC Who panel at SDCC 2022. MC Who?
No.
We got a whole bunch of announcements about Phase 5 and Phase 6, and there was obviously a lot of projects that we still know are coming that didn't get their full announcement that are probably going to get shoved down our throats
in a month's
time.
In
a few months, yeah. So we look forward to that. So we got Mike is here to help us break all that down. We'll do the two DC things. We'll do them.
The puny two.
Do we reckon that that's it was exactly Kevin Feige who called in that tip that Henry Cavill was going to turn up just like, ha-ha. I'm going to get everyone's hopes up for your panel and you've got nothing.
Do you know what? It would have been wicked if, like, that, you know, everyone was expecting that, and then Henry Cavill walked out with Kevin Feige and here's your new Captain Britain.
Oh, people were saying that, yeah. That would have been epic, yeah.
Yes, we got... What did you think of the first look at the Shazam Fury of the Gods trailer?
I don't really know what to think about that one because it just looks like more of the same kind of thing, and I was expecting a little bit of a change, I guess. But it doesn't look bad, don't get me wrong, and I'm really... I mean, I liked the first movie, so yes, I'm here for, you know, child slash superhero and the whole family dynamic and everything, and... Yeah, the jokes will be thick and fast, and yes, it's cool that they've hired older actresses to play villains, Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu, after West Side Story, I'm keen to see Rachel Zegler do something, but yeah, nothing stands out as like, oh wow, I really can't wait to see that, it just looks like, yeah, it's more the same.
Yeah, more commercial, more the same, more what worked before, and we're hoping that when the movie comes out, you know, we could be surprised, something can elevate our expectations, because yeah, like you said, it is pretty much... nothing to scream home about. It was a trailer, it had good, and you know, that's all I can say. Zachary Levi round two, I'm here for it, but there's nothing to elevate our excitement at the minute.
No.
Yeah, I would get that. I think it's mainly because when you look at like what, you know, Black Adam is going to be,
yeah,
and you know, that is very much like, to, you know, esteemed fans or people that just pay attention in life, that they are of the same world, so that's two completely different tones.
It's not just that though. I mean, even when they were talking about Black Adam, they said that they're using it to kind of stealth go forward with the Justice Society team because the Justice League are so problematic. So it's kind of like a reboot of the universe and then going ahead with those characters.
Oh yeah, I can see that, and I'm like I've said about Black Adam, I've always been excited for essentially Avengers but from Loki's point of view film. That's what intrigues me about it. I think we can agree as a collective that the DCEU as a whole is a broken mess to a point where they should, you know, they should just focus on individual stories, and maybe in 5 to 6 years time maybe do a Justice League film if you can, or crossover here and there, but at the moment I'm just fun, garish Superman man-child gets beaten up by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because that's inevitably where we're going to go Shazam 3 / Black Adam 2 it's clearly going to be these guys coming to a head, which...
You say that, but everybody's trying to make it so that it ends up being Black Adam v Superman. So
I think that's what Dwayne's trying to advocate for, isn't he?
Yeah.
Really, Mr. Cavill on the center stage. and make Zachary Levi a side piece. Or maybe they are just going to create the DC animated movies like Superman, Shazam, The Return of Black Adam, and just do that.
Yeah, that 12-minute movie.
No, 100, add a zero, 120 minutes.
The thing is, I'm surprised that the Shazam trailer like featured so much footage from Justice / other films. Like,
yeah. Well, it didn't. It did deliberately not show you Ezra Miller's face, though.
Oh yeah. And I think that's for good reason, because they were clearly running away from the police, and they just.
You're not wrong.
He lost his visual effects in that shot, hence why it was from the back.
So I would say that. Yeah, it was weird. We saw the back of Ezra Miller. We saw Wonder Woman. We saw Ben Affleck Batman. This is clearly still set within the DCEU, whatever. Because
that's the thing I don't get. Because even like that Justice League appeared at the end of Peacemaker, and it's like, are you going forward with this team, or what are we supposed to think? You know,
it's like you're going forward with this team, but then Batman wasn't one of the silhouettes. Was he?
No, he was, but it was in silhouette. You didn't see Superman or Batman, I think. No, that was the thing.
I thought there was only four of them, because I thought it was
Flash. Oh, no, you're right, yeah. Superman and Wonder Woman were in silhouette, and then there was Flash and Aquaman who were there. Yeah.
Because there was no Batman and no Cyborg.
That's right.
Yeah.
It wasn't Cyborg, yeah.
But now there's Batman, but then no Superman. So, like, what is this post?
What is going on?
Is this post the Flash?
Yeah.
I feel like everyone at DC is like, right, we're doing this with the Flash movie. How do we make this fit now? And then have taken a big fucking sigh as they fucking cross out their flow chart now that Ezra Miller keeps getting themselves arrested and, you know, seemingly letting children just be around guns and, like,
yeah.
In a house.
Is this worse than Sony's attempt at their universe at this point?
I think it's
rules.
I think it's tough to, you know, compare actual crime to Morbius. It's close. I feel like I was robbed.
I was going there.
I feel like I was robbed when I went in there. But more of my time and, you know, my, you know, sense of purpose in life for those, however long that film was, because I tried rewatching it the other day and I was like, this is
Morbius.
But
part of me really wants to rewatch Morbius, and I don't know why.
I think I would. I would rewatch it, but I would not do it sober.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
cool.
Cool.
Fair enough.
But yeah, out of the two, I'd say Black Adam intrigues me just that bit more. Like Shazam's probably, I had to say,
a safe bet. Shazam will probably turn out to be the better overall movie, whereas Black Adam could.
I don't know. I think Black Adam might, because I think Dwayne Johnson, you know, he's. You can say what you want about him. He wears the same shirt in most movies, but he is very committed to what he does because he has got great star power. And he's been signed for Black Adam for so long.
He's not a dig at Dwayne, but his movies is basically his own genre. That he's you have action movies, you have Avengers, and then you have Dwayne Johnson movies.
And some of them are not good.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I'm gonna advocate for the supporting cast in Black Adam as well. I think they are. They are better than the supporting cast of Shazam, which is, you know, it's got Adam Brody and it's got DJ Katrona and whatever among the family. But look at the Justice Society. They've cast Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate or Aldous Hodge as Hawkman. These are big castings, you know?
They are. And I like that Pierce Brosnan was like, Dr. Fate just found me at the right time in life because I got over James Bond and now I just want to do shit, basically. And he's like,
superhero Moon Knight, Egyptian gods, Moon Knight-esque.
But I think Black Adam could turn out better. But in terms of like my DCU films, I'd say it's a toss up between The Suicide Squad and Shazam. Probably The Suicide Squad, if I rewatched it, would probably just edge it. And then third is Birds of Prey. They're kind of like
your order.
That's my that's my top quality in terms.
I liked Aquaman, to be honest.
I like Aquaman's like a fourth, but with a bit of a gap because it had. Three, four different movies in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has multiple movies in it.
I think that the thing that holds it together is Jason Momoa's charisma.
Jason Data.
Regular human Atlantean. And I would... I'm really looking forward to both films, but I think Black Adam's going to obviously be something different. It's going to be... They're essentially going to be two films that actually link together in the DCEU because there is going to be a story
that's rare nowadays.
Building towards it.
Yeah.
In terms of
one of them's going to have a post-credit scene that links to the other one way or the other, I reckon.
Yes,
Shazam will be in the post credit for Black Adam.
No, I think I would wager that Dwayne Johnson would appear in the post credits of Fury from the Gods, and basically
Shazam 3.
And basically, it's Shazam 3.
Revenge of the Gods.
Revenge of the Shazamness. Should we try and do like some sort of
an order?
Should we do it like by the phase and then?
Yeah, you have the order if you want. Yes.
The order. Mike, give us the. Yeah. You be the MC.
I'm talking about 2022.
Put your Kevin on. Get your Charlie Cox out and let.
let me stick on my Captain Marvel branded cap or whatever. I stayed up till 3 a.m. watching all of these things come in and making like notes on my phone of what's coming out when and stuff. So I have got them all here. The very next thing, just to briefly touch on, because it's not really much, is going to be I Am Groot, the 5 kind of like kids animated cartoons. I'll watch it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Like the animation style looks great.
Yeah, the production is
like high CG a la Lion King.
Hmm? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Very.
considering that it's good, the main character doesn't speak, like, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Something different.
Yeah.
But they have said that Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper are in it, so.
Oh, yes.
Well, okay, that's something.
So is it going to show him aging up into the group?
No, I think it's meant to. It's based at kids. It's basically like Pixar shorts thing where they're 5 or 6 minutes, but they are based around things that kids can relate to. So it's like Baby Groot takes a bath, Baby Groot goes exploring, Baby Groot brushes his teeth or whatever, you know. So it's just kind of like doing everyday things, but like a funny take on it.
You've heard it here first. 3 or 4 of the episodes have just been announced right now.
Yeah,
that is
Baby Groot and the Amazon delivery driver of death.
But so I mean, I think we're all gonna watch that, but it's not really gonna it's not gonna do wonders, is it?
when is this one out? Is it? I thought it was August.
The next thing out is I Am Groot, and that is next week, because the week after that is when we start She-Hulk, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah, baby. After the recent trailer.
Second trailer, yeah.
That's
I love
trailer.
It.
I read a thing online that it was due to the compression rate of stuff like YouTube was like it sort of made the CGI. I don't know if this was them trying to make an excuse for it. The CGI look worse. Like it will look much better on the streaming platform.
It does on Disney Plus because they put the trailer up there to watch on Disney Plus, and when you do, it does look better. To be fair,
I like the humor. I like that we got four wall breaks.
Yeah,
I like that everyone's getting excited about the first time since 2008. I like the cameo at the end, and I like the cutting off. I like it. Oh no, you missed that the first time, didn't you?
No, I saw the cameo, but it just didn't occur to me that it was someone with a cock, maybe someone not with a cock. I don't know. It's just a person. You see their silhouette. You see their like. Bulge and you see batons, and that's all
you
I'll tell
the,
you.
You see
a yellow and red costume.
Yeah, or black suit.
Looks like they've brought back that Daredevil costume and painted it different color. Really,
the classic.
They're going with the classic yellow and red. Yeah, awesome.
But is it from the Daredevil Yellow Run? Is that what it's called, or is it just they renamed it?
No, it was. I think. It was the one he started off in the comics. He started off with the yellow kind of Jim leotard with the little of it.
That is his OG. I saw D and I thought that is a nod to his yellow costume. Then I looked at a different image that had the yellow colour. Oh, it is that suit.
And the best thing about Marvel is we get like loads of different variations. So he'll end up in the full red if people are pissing.
Oh, definitely.
I'd love if they put him in the Ben Affleck suit.
Maybe if he appears in Deadpool, they do that for a laugh.
Still, you're Ben Affleck. What? Oh, I forgot. You're the cat. this appearance is not really a surprise because this was kind of teased by Feige when She-Hulk was first announced.
Just by concept,
like, basically.
I think we were surprised that it's going to actually feature him in costume, though, because like, they said that there was rumors he was going to be in Spider-Man, and it was 2 seconds as Matt Murdock, so we were like, oh, okay. You know? So
And being a legal show, I think we were all like, oh, it'll just be Murdoch in the courtroom. That'll be how they do it. But
that's how we're going to... So we're going to see him in that, and then we're going to see him in Echo. Is that confirmed?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then we'll see him in... We'll talk about it in a bit. But the She-Hulk trailer was a lot better. I think Tatiana Maslany is going to be fantastic.
Absolutely
the humour
incredible.
Hit a lot more.
Mm-hmm. She's so good.
Because I don't know if you felt this, Mike, because I felt... I think maybe a bit of fatigue over the last sort of few months, like post Spider-Man, was kind of a bit like, I felt like I was picking and choosing, like, you know, I'll watch what's essential, but then I'll kind of, because like Miss Marvel, I kind of saved like to watch like as a block at the end. Like I watched the first two episodes, like started the third, and I was kind of like, I don't really feel like I need to watch this.
Not tonight.
Which is a shame because Miss Marvel is quite fantastic. The ending of that show like leads it into a place with a sequel that's gonna like be really fun and interesting to see. But like Moon Knight I loved, but like stuff like I think audience anticipation kind of derailed Doctor Strange for a lot of people. I had a lot more fun with it because I had lowered my expectations based on everyone pissing and moaning about it, and I just kind of enjoyed it for what it was.
I did on
again. I heard something about Doctor Strange that said that like it ultimately boils down to it being named badly because you're expecting multiple multiverses and stuff. And it's like if it was just called something like Magic Man versus Evil Witch, you'd be like, this is the greatest film ever.
Yeah.
I
can see that, and I think obviously it's everyone going like off the.
It would have affected the scores, that's for sure.
It's kind of the No Way Home thing of like, you know. Well, they've done that, so surely that so-and-so is going to be in it, and so-and-so is going to be in it. I think it blew its load with a lot of the trailers. Like, I think Captain Carter didn't really need to be in the trailer, that second TV spot or whatever it was.
Professor X definitely didn't need to be in the trailer.
But if you'd have saved Patrick Stewart for We Should Tell Him the Truth in the actual film, I think that would have been a no-home moment of, oh,
like, holy shit,
you know, he's a different version, but he's there. Because I think John Krasinski... by default got the most because it just wasn't really spoiled, even though everyone kind of alluded to it, and there was screenshots that went around the day before and I saw one of those.
Personally, but I was more shocked to see Black Bolt in there.
I love Anson Justice for...
Anson Mount. Anson
and Justice for Captain Pike.
I think the Inhumans...
Captain Pike. Oh, of course, yeah.
What's after She-Hulk?
After She-Hulk...
That was cool.
Transforming.
And you look
Transform
at what?
Of, Emil Blunt.
Yeah. The featurette was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just stoked to get more Tim Roth, really. Especially after
Shang-Chi and the good invisible cameo of nothingness. A little bit. It was actually just a 2 second, and then it was come on, let's. One was like, come on, let's go back to your cell, and then to finally find out that
the portal in
Shang-Chi was She-Hulk's cell.
That Wong's been breaking him out to make money on the side.
Yeah,
in illegal
fucking for whatever reason. As the Sorcerer Supreme, what on earth is he?
He clearly doesn't pay well, and we get a Wong cameo in the new trailer, which was Wong's world, and we're just living
phase
it.
Phase
definitely. One. And I loved the featurette because I'm happy to see that Jameela Jamil's still getting work and she looks good as Titania. And I love that there's references to everything from Frogman to the Wrecking Crew to like crazy magicians of the Marvel U and stuff. So,
they've said any like people that haven't been introduced yet in the MCU, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
On August 17th,
August 17th, not long now. So the next thing after that is in November in terms of Marvel, and that is Black Panther Wakanda Nonsense is this, as I call it, or Wakanda Forever, if you prefer.
What nonsense is this?
And we got a trailer. I was very kind of emotionally touched by this.
Yeah, it was very heartfelt, regardless of the real
twist of the song. Which they've got translated as like the king is forever or something. Yeah. There's a post.
But even if you didn't know what happened to Chadwick in real life, I feel like you could have watched the trailer not known, because he doesn't make a point of, our Black Panther is gone. We need a new Black Panther. The film just kind of does.
Unfortunately, it does look like the leaked plot on Reddit might be true.
Well, how's that unfortunate? It's bloody great.
I don't want to know.
I didn't read the leaked
plot on Reddit. I will save it from you.
I think I know vaguely the structure, but I'm pleased to see that there's more to it, because I was like, it's going to deal with the loss of the Black Panther. But I was pleased to see they're doing the kind of Atlantis versus Wakanda war type stuff, even though they're not calling it Atlantis because we can't because of DC, so it's called like some old Mexican place or something.
Mayan Aztec culture, and the appearance sort of reflects that. They're not just typical finned Little Mermaid people in live action or copying of Aquaman, for example.
Like, on the absence of T'Challa as a character?
I think they've done everything they possibly could, because they could have... They've been as respectful as possible. They're making it part of the plot. They didn't just do the Terrence Howard recast thing, which would have been really crass.
Yeah.
I think they're doing the right thing by making it a focus of the movie, especially because it makes sense that if you're being invaded and you've just lost your king, your second king in however many years, that is going to be an important like weakness, you know?
Yeah, true.
I'm kind of two minds about it, because I've seen obviously a lot of people talk about this in terms of T'Challa is such an important character to, like, not just in the comics, but obviously to, like, Black culture in general. Like, the strides that first movie made, like, you know, it's down to the hard work of Chadwick and stuff. But the arguments are that it also doesn't have to end there. And I think a lot of that was based off of, you know, Letitia Wright coming out and being, you know, anti-vaxxer, saying, like, everything's the work of the devil, and using her platform essentially to be a bit of a twat.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, well, maybe we should just recast him. But
well, I hear what you're saying, but the fact that we know that this saga is leading up to Secret Wars means that they can just recast and everything at that point and just change whatever they like. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's a new Black Panther from a different Earth or whatever at the end of that. But
yeah.
Why do it now?
Yeah. I get that. But also, it's a thing of like, it's a shame that he's not in it. I think that was the main thing watching that trailer, was I was just gutted that there is no Chadwick Boseman in this. But also the kind of the stories that you could, whether they do that or not, like going forward, if like this is it for T'Challa in this universe, then it's kind of a loss, because people like said, like, you know, God forbid, but if Tom Holland dies, they still make Peter Parker Spider-Man, you know, Robert Pattinson dies, you still get Bruce Wayne Batman. Why does it have to be Black Panther that then has to die?
I think they know what they're doing, and they know that they're leading up to Secret Wars, so it made sense to do the story now of like who would be the successor that can take you there, and then by Secret Wars just say, oh, it's T'Challa of Earth 684 or whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you could do something like that, but also like I was kind of like, when it was like who would be the Black Panther, obviously like, everyone was saying Shuri, and we get a glimpse of someone at the end that, you know, we don't see much of them, but from what we see, they seem to have a more feminine physique. Yeah. I was one that collared for, I wanted M'Baku to be both Black Panther and possibly, like, there's a rumour that maybe, you know, he would become the ruler and then Shuri would be the Black Panther. I would have liked him to do it.
I heard the rumour that they were going to share the Black Panther.
Like that. Nakia, I would like, because Lupita Nyong'o is fantastic and, like, you know, the Queen... Like the King's Queen would be a fitting, you know, successor.
Yeah.
And what was Daniel Kaluuya's character called?
He's not in it, to be fair. He's always said he's not coming back. But he was Okoye's lover or husband or something like that.
He said nope.
Yeah.
But he said nope.
But I think he would have been great. But I think, you know, more Winston Duke.
Get out.
Getting more of Yeah. Well done. Oh, Lupita Nyong'o. It's just us here. And
make me attack the block.
Strong card. Very good. I think it's such a strong cast here. I'm looking forward to seeing Martin Freeman back. See what
Everett K. Ross has been up to. Bilbo.
Yeah. Obviously getting Namor. I think the man that's playing him seems like he's going to be cracking in the part, and I'd love to see where Namor, because, you know, Namor outdates Aquaman by like six or seven years.
I found out literally he and the original Human Torch, not Chris Evans nor Michael
and George, Jim Hammond.
Marvel Comics issue one, October.
They predate Marvel Comics. It wasn't known as Marvel back then, because they go back to the 1930s, pre-Captain America. So it was like Timely or Atlas or something.
Yeah.
Human Torch and Namor.
I'm surprised just by that sort of fact that it's taken them this long to get around to one of the original.
Well, it's rights issues because he's technically the first mutant, so they didn't own him.
That was true, wasn't it? And obviously the fact that, you know, Aquaman happens in real life, so you kind of think, let's not do an Aquaman movie with our Aquaman right now. You know, leave it a bit. And obviously, like, because when Stan Lee then wrote Fantastic Four, he repurposed the Human Torch to put a version of that character into that as well. So he predates a lot of things, but it's nice to, like you say, finally get him.
The original Human Torch has a shit name when you think about it, because he's not human.
The alien.
He's an android.
You, computer man. Fix my.
He should be called the Android Torch, if anything, should he?
Should be called the Eye Torch.
Oh. Yes. Apple Eye Torch. Anyway, do you want me to move on to Phase 5 now?
Yes, because, guys, that is...
Just before I do, there's a couple of quick things in Phase 4 that they didn't talk about, but I wanted to note that are coming out because they are going to do a Halloween special on Disney Plus.
Werewolf by Night.
Werewolf by Night.
Yeah. The only thing we know is that it probably involves Werewolf by Night, but they haven't really revealed much else. And there will be, even though it is technically the start of Phase 5, there's going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which I can't wait to see what they're going to do with that.
Apparently that leads into like Volume 3, and it actually does it a lot of important characters in the Marvel Universe,
so to speak.
Yeah. We'll get to Volume 3 because there was a lot of news and casting came out about that as well, which I want to talk about.
Exclusive footage that we aren't going to see because we are going to get a different trailer to what people at the convention
got. No, James Gunn said the trailer for Volume 3. Like, it was obviously that it was made for the convention, but there's still stuff that's not how he would like it or how it's going to look in the final film. So there's, you know, VFX shots that aren't finished. And so we know the outlook of Phase 4, but we got a full Phase 5 for now because stuff can still chop and Phase 3 was announced, Inhumans was in, Spider-Man was in. So don't be that kind of dots around a little. I don't expect it to change majorly, but I think there was some stuff maybe added or changed a little bit. But we got
a lot of stuff still a lot of stuff has vague dates like spring, summer, autumn.
And there's 7 that have been announced that haven't got like been given an actual date and title yet.
Yeah.
Whatever it was on the
there's gaps, but they're probably gonna be revealed at D23, so we'll see.
We're gonna get a lot more shit for the rest of the year. And into next year, obviously. They plant the flags and face in later. But obviously they've registered a lot of trademarks before SDCC and some of them turned out to be true.
Were
so
very true.
I think
some were just video games and shit though. You know.
It lead us into yonder phase. It feels weird to say phase 5.
I know, right?
So soon.
The official start of Phase 5 will be in, let's see, February the 17th next year. And that will be Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So any thoughts on that before I get into it?
Well, really, the true beginning, arguably, of this multiverse saga. I mean, par Loki season 1.
Loki,
No Way Home, and then whatever happened in Multiverse of Madness. I mean, was it really that mad? Not at the minute. But when we get to Quantumania, things are going to ramp up to 10 as the world's smallest hero is going to go up against the world's biggest time-traveling conqueror. And no, it's not the Master. It's not the Rani. It's not bloody Omega. His name is Kang, the Conqueror.
Did you see the description of the brief clip that they put out from Ant-Man and the Wasp?
What, the poster?
No, there was a very brief. Yeah. There was a brief clip where it's basically Ant-Man meeting Kang, and they're revealing that it isn't a variant; it is him because Ant-Man basically says, "Oh, don't mess with me. I'm an Avenger." And then Kang just looks at him and goes, "I'm a conqueror." And I was like, "Oh, nice."
I thought I've read something that I've killed an Avenger before.
No, it's like, have I killed you before or something like
that?
I've
killed Avengers before.
It's amazing that we're getting the cap off of this Ant-Man trilogy, and I hope it doesn't mean the end for Paul Rudd as Scott Lang for a very long time yet, because
if they're seeing their Avengers, they're probably going to turn up in those movies, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, hopefully. And it's like Kevin Feige said, it's nice to finally give this saga a name, and you know, to know it's all building towards, you know, being, it's on Jonathan Majors' shoulders, and
he's not well, he's done
so, it's Jonathan Majors' shoulders and whoever they cast as Doctor Doom, in my opinion, but that's a different argument.
Doctor Doom very much going to be a secondary antagonist in terms
not if they're doing Secret Wars.
Become a big player.
Well, no, because the rumor is that he's going to be in it, but it's still going to be, he's still second fiddle to Kang, and until Kang is defeated,
I heard the opposite, because that's the whole point in why the first one's called the Kang Dynasty, because that is basically them dealing with Kang, and then Secret Wars is, you know, Emperor Doom, who takes over the multiverse or whatever. But here, it could be wrong, this is a rumor, but
I was going to say, this is how you feel. Kang Dynasty is just going to be Kang's movie, and then Secret Wars is going to be a la Doom movie.
Yes, personally, yeah, yes.
I'd love Doom to sort of be in a bit more than just, you know, Secret Wars. In Secret Wars. Because I think
it'd be a fantastic film.
If the rumours are true, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Mm-hmm. At the post credits, maybe.
Perhaps.
There's...
Whether or not that'll be forced, there will be things in it. Whether or not there'll actually be things in it that will feel earned, or it will be a random dun 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 post credit.
Because he's such a big Marvel villain in general, and he kind of should be like recurring. Alan was in the first like two phases, really. Like he should be
on that level.
Like a dastardly, pretend that I betrayed you, but it's all. He should be. He should feel like Delgado did. No, like, I've got this plan, I'm going to take over. Oh, fuck, it's gone wrong. Please, well, I'm begging you.
I can see them doing something like that, because I can see them doing it that he's the one who ultimately helps to defeat Kang, and they're kind of like, oh, we may have misjudged you, we've got you wrong. And then, as I said, by Secret Wars, it's like, no, you didn't, I just wanted the power. Just one last question about Ant-Man and the Wasp, then. What are you guys' thoughts on Catherine Newton taking over as Cassie Lang? And now we know from the poster she will be either Stature or Stinger in costume, so...
Yes, because I think it's still pretty shitty how they replaced. I forget what her name is that played her in Avengers Endgame.
I always get her confused with the little girl, but yeah, the actress who played her in Endgame was very shafted. It's not very fair. Like,
I think it was at Investor Day or whatever when they announced it, and were like, and so-and-so is now taking over as Cassie Lang. That was a bit shitty.
It was Emma Thurman in Avengers Endgame, and it will be portrayed by Catherine Newton in... Emma Thurman.
I think at the end of the day, it's a character that the best portrayal has been in the first two movies, let's be real.
The little girl,
I look forward to that. I just hope it leads at some point to the rumoured, you know, Young Avengers that they...
I can't believe they didn't announce that, because they've introduced every one of that team. That's got to be one of the unannounced things, surely.
Well, in the gap between... a certain other movie, and then when we eventually get to Secret Wars, like there's a load of gaps.
I wouldn't put three movies with the Avengers title in one phase.
No, of course.
It is just Young Avengers.
Two is a bloody tree.
Avengers Academy, as it's rumored to be called, which is sounds a bit High School Musical, but
it does.
I think I like them three, like it works, like Paul Rudd, Evangeline, and like Catherine Newton. Like, I think it's gonna work, because it'll be, dare I say it, a Fantastic Four test run in terms of a family superhero dynamic.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Perhaps.
Because Korg has definitely been a practice run for the Thing.
Yeah.
In terms of CGI.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. I wouldn't be surprised, because Peyton Reed has heavily been lobbied for a Fantastic Four movie since the early 2000s, and I think if you know you've chosen one of your recurring directors to direct the Avengers film, maybe you choose a safe pair of hands for the Fantastic Four film. That I think Peyton Reed could do a good job on that, possibly.
I still think they gave it to John Krasinski, and that's how he basically went in for the cameo, to be honest.
Well, he was like, I'll only do it if you let me direct it.
Yeah.
And I think that's how they probably got, because to go to his agent and be like, do you want to roll in this movie, even if it's a Marvel movie for 2 minutes, isn't that appealing? Yeah. But if they'd went and said, would you like to direct Fantastic Four? You can be Mr. Fantastic, but we need you to end up on set like next week. It could be like, all right, okay.
Have we not watched Jim Halpert in The Office? John Krasinski is a very smart man.
He's in
the sales industry. He knows. He knows.
But a name that I've heard that I'm not against, especially with her work in Star Wars, Bryce Dallas Howard, I think, could do a good job.
Yeah, Deborah Chow, for that matter, after doing Obi-Wan, would be pretty quality.
Yeah. You can have Owen McGregor in it as well. Just talking about it.
It's clobbering time.
It's clobbering. Actually, now you say that, Ewan McGregor, Mr. Fantastic, I don't
hate that.
But I think,
yeah, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, Krasinski's obviously the dream, and like they've said, I don't know if Mike, you've watched the Assemble documentary for Doctor Strange: Multiverse of Madness yet, but they talk about that. You know, it's a fans wanted to see, so that's kind of why we did it. Like, it might not. Because our thing was, like, everyone in that room, bar Patrick Stewart, like, was, like, they're played by their MCU counterpart, like, same actors.
Yeah.
So does that mean that in our universe, he'll still be played by John Krasinski? Because that would be fun. But also, I think Penn Bagley could still do a really good job. Old Henry Goldberg.
Yeah.
Henry Goldberg? Yeah.
From you, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're getting too far ahead of ourselves. That's a different phase. It's a different phase of our lives.
Speaking of things that are going to have a massive impact, in spring, immediately following Ant-Man and the Wasp, Secret Invasion comes, and they made it a TV show? What's that about?
And again, six episodes? It's still six episodes? Is that enough to cover one of the biggest modern comics?
I don't think the story will be done in time. Like, I think it's going to be... It will start off, but then hopefully it will bleed into
other things.
The rest of that phase.
Well,
if not,
it's going to have an impact because they've confirmed it is going to do the comic thing of we'll reveal that at least one or two of the heroes have been Skrulls the whole time. So people are speculating but it's going to affect things going forward, isn't it?
That's the thing. Has Marvel not paid attention to their universe? It can't just be one or two characters. It's going to have to be, like, not to name them the whole roster, but it's going to have to be like a substantial amount of people. But I don't want every 5 minutes to be. Doctor Strange is real, but you want so-and-so to be real. Oh, look, we brought Maria Hill back. Oh, but she's obviously not real. Like, I don't want that every episode. But again, as soon as episode six, it's going to change, not just phase five or six or whatever they do with Avengers Secret Invasion Wars, but it's going to stay with the MCU for however long this thing lasts, surely.
You say that, they're throwing in such minor characters that it's blatantly just going to end up being, Maria Hill and Everett Ross were Skrull, and maybe Nick Fury is, and it's not going to be like, War Machine and Doctor Strange were Skrulls, you know?
Maybe War Machine, and that's why they keep pushing Armor Wars back.
Well,
right.
Maybe, yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't hate that idea. I just feel bad for Cheadle.
One thing we didn't mention briefly about Ant-Man and the Wasp was that it's rumoured to actually have the first MCU appearance of MODOK.
It does, No, they actually revealed... there was a clip of it. It wasn't just a rumour, because they are using... This is really weird, but they're having it be played by the guy who was Yellow Jacket in the first movie. And so the explanation for him looking that way is that he was kind of crushed into a weird kind of head thing. Which,
That's strange, because I think it would have been nice to just have it be Patton Oswalt from the TV show universe,
They revealed it was Corey Stoll, but they did also, the other thing I forgot to mention that was revealed was that Bill Murray's going to be in Ant-Man and the Wasp, but they haven't said who he's playing, so that's a treat.
He would be a fun mode.
Krylar is the name I keep reading. I don't know, again, if that's rumoured or they confirmed.
I don't know who that is.
At the convention. Krylar? Something Krylar?
Doesn't mean anything to me, Krylar. Sorry.
It's just a name. Oh, no.
If you say it, say it enough, someone will know what it means. yes, those things. Secret Invasion, because is that what we're on?
I mean, it's got a good cast, because cast like Emilia Clarke and Olivia Colman are coming in to do stuff, but it just seems like they've really downplayed what was a huge thing in the comics, you know.
Unless that episode one is going to be like game changing, it's really going to just right from the get go. The first scene is going to be a what the fuck type twist, and then they've somehow got to keep that through the runtime, through the six episodes. If it's
that's the thing. How are they going to match the moment in the comic? I think it was at the end of issue one or two where it's just like a spaceship lands and then like two dozen
actual heroes walk out, and it's like we were on the Skrull homeworld the whole time, and your jaw just drops like, oh shit, they've been replaced. Yeah,
I'm excited. I want Samuel L. Jackson back. I want to know why he's growing a fucking beard in space. Like, I want to know these answers.
He got, again, not just like, that, he's got an extra eye like, back as well.
Yeah, more importantly, the fucking eye. His visual effects on his eye. Yeah, how is it going to actually change? So focused on Kang and the Secret Wars and the multiverse. How is a bunch of aliens in a short series going
to
change?
And is it going to also link back to, you know, fighting? In the end, they have to, like, you know, they end up fighting the Super Skrull.
And, right, yeah.
You know, giving the, like, Fury has to give the weapon to Deadpool because, you know, they'll never believe that they gave it to him or whatever. And then no one's using it to then destroy the Super Skrull and claiming victory and building the Dark Avengers and, like, slowly being an evil...
Well, yeah, will this lead into Thunderbolts, which is coming, you know?
Yeah, so much. Way ahead. Yeah, hey, Thunderbolts.
Like, I'm glad that we got some clarity on where this is going, but I think it raises a lot of questions as well. Like,
of course.
Does this all cohesively fit in together? Is it going to get enough
time? Is this quantity over quality at this point?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fair
question.
But I think that's a debate for later on down the line. Sorry, Michael, next.
Yeah, no, that's fine. The next thing on May, the I believe 5th of next year, is finally Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which we touched on earlier.
Hey. We
I mean, I was already on board for this one, but you know, I don't love that it's been confirmed as the end, and it's going to be emotional and sad, and we're going to have to deal with seeing Baby Rocket being abused into whatever he becomes and stuff. But I do love the Guardians movies in general, and I love that James Gunn has brought Chuck Woody Awuji over from Peacemaker to play the High Evolutionary, and he's got Maria Bakalova, who was Borat's daughter, to voice Cosmo the Space Dog. So I'm loving what I see already.
Bloody amazing.
Obviously,
good stuff.
We get Will Poulter portraying Adam Warlock in this
film.
Yes,
Adam Warlock, of course.
Yeah.
We got a first, there was a first look at that, wasn't there, in the footage?
Yeah, but we didn't see it. But yeah, apparently they did see Adam Warlock in the footage. But yeah.
I am excited. I think because, you know, this film would have been out yonks ago. Like, had COVID not happened, and obviously the firing that we specifically.
We saved, yeah. We reversed.
Check out episode 3.
Yeah,
we saved. Kevin Feige definitely watched that and went, I can't do that to these people.
they will have their movie, goddammit.
But what Guardians do you think are going to die? Because I think it's...
They've already kind of said that, like, the characters that won't come back are the ones that are there in live action. Like, you might have Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel pop back up for voice roles, but Star-Lord, Gamora, and Drax, and Mantis, and Nebula, they're all fair game to be just killed off.
Not Sean Gunn? So Sean Gunn's the only one that's going to survive. Is that your early prediction?
Like, anybody live action, like I said, but yeah. The only other plot information that we have is that Gamora's leading the Ravagers now, because, of course, she's the one that didn't know Peter Quill that came from the alternate timeline in Endgame, which is going to be confusing as fuck as well. But, yeah.
Pre-2014, not real Gamora, yet Star-Lord is still going to pine over her.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It'll be weird, interesting and weird to see how that dynamic plays out.
And obviously they won't, you know, leave the Guardians in a place where that it's never going to... Like, they'll leave it in a place where it can come back in a few years' time.
Yeah.
Because they can just do a different roster or, like...
Yeah.
Throw some characters in space.
Because if you're asking me who's getting killed off, I think personally my money's on Drax, because Batista's already said, like, he's exhausted, he doesn't want to do it anymore. Certainly he can't have his shirt off anymore at his age, so I think we'll see Drax killed off in the movie. Maybe Gamora as well.
He said he's got however many years left of doing action movies to get him in for or whatever.
Shame. I love Batista.
I don't think they would kill Gamora. Like, I feel like anyone that's already been killed off or disliked. So I don't think they would kill off Groot, because we've seen him disappear.
Groot and Rocket are fine.
We've had him destroyed by the ship. I don't know. I feel like Rocket would be, for me, I think Rocket would be the most emotional one out of all of them, because we've kind of grown with him and learned a lot about him. like, you know, you see the like the suggestions of him being an animal that was abused and turned into the, like, I never asked to be made and all that kind of stuff. And the emotional journey and connection he has, and like, he's the emotional pivot for Thor and really sort of brings him around
in
Infinity
right,
War and gets him back in the game. So I think it was a lot more of a loss for him. He's and then it would, you know, it would free up a lot more money, because if you're not playing Prime Cooper a bit, but but yeah, I think him, Star-Lord, I think
he's
a higher percentage.
I think Star-Lord's fine. They're not necessarily going to bring him back in, but they're not going to kill off Star-Lord.
I don't know. I think, you know, obviously, like, leading man, maybe that's a thing. James Gunn might think of, like, you won't expect this.
Nobody's going to be especially sad about the loss of Chris Pratt, though, are they?
I don't think Nebula will, because Karen Gillan posted about, like, I don't really know if this is it or not, but, like, if it is, it's been fun. If it's not, I'll come back and need me kind of thing. So I feel like she's the outstanding performers in everything she's been in terms of her arc has been great. And it'd be nice to see her do stuff.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but she's gotten more to do as the films have moved on, you know?
So, I mean...
So she was in Guardians 2.
Yeah.
She did a... She was there.
It's crucial to Endgame.
She was there in Endgame. She was there in Infinity War.
She didn't say anything. She didn't say anything. She had no lines in Thor, Love and Thunder.
No.
No, well, nobody did in Thor, Love and Thunder. That was a bare cameo just because they had to explain why he'd left the Guardians or whatever. But, I think she was central to Endgame. And she's pretty good in What If as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, fine.
Hopefully we get more Pom Clementine, if she deserves a bit more. And she was in The Suicide Squad, wasn't she?
Briefly, yeah.
At the club where Peter Capaldi hangs out.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even on set. That was just like... in the breaks.
Yeah, that was just Peter Capaldi going to a strip club.
His big, bulbous, sweating head. Tell me, Clara,
a good
have
man.
I got enough money to throw at this woman's ass? Guardians, you know, unanimously agree. Very excited.
Absolutely. The next thing after Guardians is very appropriate to the audio issues that I'm hearing, because it's a show that's called Echo, which... There's not really a lot to say about that, other than it's a spin-off of Hawkeye. It's probably going to have Matt Murdock and Kingpin in it. They've confirmed.
They are confirmed.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox has been confirmed, I think, since.
What, last year?
And so has whoever plays Vanessa. Is rumored.
Oh, right. Ayelet Zura, who was in Man of Steel.
Yeah, who is... she's great, she's going to be in the other project, maybe, as well.
Yeah, the other one.
She's rumoured to sort of be back in this. When it gets to all the Matt Murdock stuff, I've got a nice fan theory that I saw online that I want to share with you gentlemen. But
go for it.
I liked Alaka Cox in Hawkeye. I think she's great.
Yeah.
Deaf, prosthetic leg, and she's doing all those stunts herself. That's insane.
And she's actually deaf, which is weird.
Yeah, and she's emoting so much as well. Like having to act against that when you can't like hear what the
cue is,
still emoting so much from your face and in your body language. I think it's great. Is it ruining the cliffhanger for the Kingpin? But they were never going to just kill off the Kingpin.
No,
they did the same thing in the comics, though. I was never surprised. As soon as they had a pointing at the eye, I was like, well, they're doing the same thing,
It left it in a place where, like, well, obviously he's going to come back, but also, like, they could have just been ballsy and gone, we're pulling back, and now he's dead. But I think Echo is the bridge between Hawkeye, She-Hulk, and another street-level hero.
Born again.
Maybe, or again, they are yellow and have their cocks out.
Still a show... I think Hawkeye was great. Alaka Cox is amazing. And I do think a show, though, from a character's point of view, considering we still are a bit disjointed as to where everything was going, I'm surprised it's happening now.
I'm here for it. Give me the Marvel figure now.
I should have said as well, the other rumour about the Murdoch appearances is that in a couple of the shows he's in, he's going to be hunting for Jessica Jones, which presumably means we'll eventually get her back as well. We'll see.
Kristen Ritter will appear in Echo. Because she's apparently been seen in a Jessica Jones-esque costume. And obviously with the name change of us, we can assume that there will
They're going to do TV something show. With the character,
While we're on the old Netflix train, there is rumour that at D23 they will announce a continuation slash, you know, reimagining a la what we've got, you know, for the character coming up for John Bernthal to reprise the role of Frank Castle slash the Punisher.
The newest rumour today is that he's actually going to appear in the Born Again series first, but we'll see.
Without reading into that, I think that's my gut feeling. Considering the runtime, what the hell are they going to do for that amount of episodes?
18 episodes.
That's Echo is just down for summer, isn't it? It's not like
summer 2023. But speaking of summer 2023, also after Echo is the date for Loki season 2, which I know we've seen is filming, and that's all we really know.
They actually time travel for more than 10 minutes in an episode. Maybe.
Do you think that we're going to get a lot more Jonathan Majors in Loki between...
Like, we'll have to, like, given the cliffhanger.
You're going to see him in Quantumania.
Yeah,
you're going to see him, obviously, in Kang Dynasty. You're going to probably see him in a few more places, but...
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to...
Let's play Guess the Pit Stop.
at least play into the variant side of it a bit more in Loki, because that's probably where it would make them...
But then the questioning with the variants, do you just keep Jonathan Majors as the only physical model, or do you just because Kang, different people of colour, right, whatever, you could just play guess the audience and just say, is this character who you think he is? No, he's a variant. Nathaniel Richards is a 64? It's not who you think it is. You know, do you play that game of recasting him? Or
I think it's, you know, you make it the most different from Thanos. You make the same guy play low. Because I think the fun thing that I thought of when, you know, it was like Kang was being set up for the big bad, which we now know to be true, is that Thanos was seeded and barely seen, really, in terms of, like, the first three phases. Yeah. But, you know, it would be fun to sort of do it as just each different version of Kang that comes and gets defeated, then learns a different thing, takes that with them, and then, you know...
They're not all bad guys, either. That's the thing. The fact of using Kang means that you've got access to Kang the Conqueror and He Who Remains that we've seen, but you've also got like Iron Lad, Immortus, Nathaniel Richards, as you mentioned, and whatever the Rama Tut, whatever the Pharaoh version of him is called. But there's lots of things you can play with.
Yeah, Rama.
I think we're going to see all of that, and it's going to give it range and make it a much more compelling like villain arc, really. Instead of just...
sit on rock. I click my fingers. You're all dead.
But I do. I did like Loki. I think it's a lot of people have kind of been annoyed by the fact that it ends with just three fabulous actors sitting down and having a conversation, which I think is so well done in terms of like, you know, crossing the threshold. It did change the outlook, at least for these next like couple of phases.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah,
and I look forward to what Tom Hiddleston does, because. That I like that our Loki is definitively dead. This is a different one that kind of got all of his backstory.
Presumably,
sort of changed a bit, but now as you know, he's on his own journey, his own path. Rumors are that Chris Hemsworth will cameo as a version of Thor.
Oh, okay. Well, he did voice the Thor frog briefly in season one.
So the frog's gonna. Oh, no, hang on. Get this. Frogman in She-Hulk and Thor Frog. Are they going to do something with...
Yeah, but Throg or Frog Thor? Two completely different...
And Frogman.
Is it Thor as a frog?
You're forgetting the trio. And Frogman. Frogman is Thor in a mask. It's Chris Hemsworth in a mask.
It's just, but not as Thor. It's Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a fan.
It's just me, mate. I'm jumping really high. Look at my shoes.
Look, it's Tatiana. Hey.
But apparently, like, stuff today, presumably, maybe, like, Chris Hemsworth playing an earlier version of himself, or possibly a variant. Maybe.
Imagine like, boastful Loki and stuff, so.
Imagine the dynamic of, like, Thor being the cocky brother. I mean, all right, we got that episode, and it was still part of the douchebag Thor, but then you have Loki, this mature, not our OG Loki, but the one that, like George said, is gone on his own journey. He's changing and growing as a person, and you have the brother role reversed, so Loki's like the mentor while Thor is the arrogant shit, so to speak, for
maybe
it'd just be a good reversal, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
You can do a lot, I think, with a show like Loki in season two. Although I didn't love season one, I loved all the sort of individual parts, so I'm excited to see Owen Wilson and what's her name, who plays Sylvie, who's really good as an actress. And Gugu Mbatha-Raw again as... And again, I can't remember the character name, but, you know, Ravenna something. Yeah, all those pots.
Ravenclaw.
Or Renslayer or something, isn't it?
The lover of Kang in iteration. So that would be interesting. But what we know about that is, more importantly, is that Miss Minutes is confirmed to return. So that's...
Oh, thank fuck. There you go.
Yeehaw, y'all.
There you go.
That's the biggest jump scare.
Yeah, Andy, but how many jump scares? That's the question. She's back.
I love how much Tara Strong loves that character. She's been so many cool characters, and yet she's just obsessed with Miss Minutes.
Bloody hell, man. Miss Minutes, man.
Anyway.
What is the next thing?
The next thing, ironically, is the thing that we've seen the build-up to most recently. So in July 28th, 2023, we're getting The Marvels, and we'll finally find out where Kamala went and have Carol interact with her now supportive family and see Monica again and have Journey Blue from Doctor Who as the bad guy, and that's pretty much all I can tell you.
Wait, who's the baddie?
You know, Tony, Zoe Ashton.
Tom Hiddleston's lover in real life. Yeah. Oh, okay. She's the villain.
Yeah.
I knew she was in it, but I forgot who she was. But okay, she's the villain.
Yeah, we don't know which villain, but yeah. So, yeah. Any other thoughts on the Marvels?
I love Monica Rambeau's appearance in
Wonder Marvel.
I can't wait to see what Tiana Paris does with that character now, like where she's at, because last time she had to go up to space to meet the big guy, or whoever it was.
Well, Secret Invasion comes before the Marvels, so maybe she'll be up there first, we don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
That would seem like a natural point of progression.
Good show.
I love Iman Vellani as Miss Marvel. She's amazing. Like, the wrap-up's nice, and obviously the treat that they've been swapped, so Carol's essentially going to have to go and be like, oh shit, there's this girl in space, I've got to go and
find her.
Yeah.
So, in my verdict, two out of the three Marvel characters to feature in the movie, Tiana Paris and Iman Vellani, Miss Marvel and Monica Rambeau, I'm totally on board for. Captain Marvel, this is her chance.
I love Brie Larson. I'm one of the rare ones that just I'm on board for that.
So. I'm also excited for Nia DaCosta, the director, who made is Candyman. Just from a cinematic point of view, like, I'm really hoping this film is going to look, not just look the bollocks, but, like, I'm hoping there's just going to be some cool creative shots in it. Nia DaCosta excites me. I mean, it wasn't one of last year's riveting films, but just from a cinematic visual experience, it definitely was a positive and a huge highlight for Candyman. And the fact that they've got that to a Marvel, subtitled The Marvels, is it going to be a visual Marvel? I'm excited from that aspect. I just want to mention.
Well, there you go. Speaking of names that are appropriate, will Blade feature a Blade? I wonder, because that is the next long-awaited thing to come, and November the 3rd, I believe, next year.
I think, like, you know, is Dane Whitman going to be in it? You know,
that's the intriguing thing.
Be in this film.
You're a bloody vampire. Oh, no way.
I've got my magic sword. And
I'm gonna kick some ass.
Kit Harington. Yeah, thanks for coming back, man. Please get out.
please for coming back, Batman.
I love the movie films I'm in with the magic swords. Sometimes they break ice. Sometimes they go all wiggly like gooey and go ooh.
The only other thing I can mention about Blade is that I just hope it's gonna be not like childish and maybe R-rated, but we'll see.
Please. I mean, just as Deadpool can't really be neutered by its rating, the same can be said for Blade. Because you remember in the Spider-Man 90s animated cartoon when Punisher's in it, but he just fires lasers. And how Morbius is in it, but he only wants plasma.
I need to suck your blood through these things on my hands, even though I have fangs.
Henry Hoover. I draw out your plasma through my hands, and one day I will be Jared Leto, and the internet will hate me.
The very next project in fall of next year, we didn't mention she's actually going to be introduced in Black Panther. We talked so much about that, but we didn't mention Ironheart, who's getting her own series and will be introduced first in that film. So, yeah, thoughts?
Trailer, which it's cool. We're finally getting it because I know Ironheart's one of those ones that were announced after the initial lot of Disney Plus shows. And has been pushed back a bit. Not as bad as Armor Wars, but we'll get to that eventually.
Poor Armor Wars. Yeah. Poor Armor Wars.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, because it'd be nice to see how, you know, someone who, you know, takes the Iron Man legacy, but as someone who, as they said, didn't really know him because obviously she was too young when he started being Iron Man.
She
and
missed
it's only
him.
Through the blip
yeah.
and stuff that, and her yeah. genius intellect that she kind of.
I think that's why they're linking her more to like Shuri and Wakanda rather than Tony Stark. So I don't know if he'll have that big a part to play, but. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I know before it was rumored like you'd come back as an AI kind of interface thing, but then it's like you're paying him too much money again. I'd like how that sort of tie a bow on this whole Iron Man legacy thing, which was obviously we say it, but like Armor Wars was going to be that, and you know maybe tidying up with that technology and Justin Hammer and giving Rhodey like an end sort of thing.
Something.
I hope Rhodey does turn up in it at some point. Maybe a couple, not appearing from Jon Favreau, and if you can get her for a day, not the short member she's in it, but Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, fair enough. That's cool. Did you guys see the illustrations of the Mark I Ironheart armor, and what did you think of it?
I've not seen the illustrations.
No, I've not.
Oh, you can go look it up online. There's Funko Pops and there's behind the scenes images and concept art. So it's very similar to Iron Man's Mark One in that it doesn't look so refined, which I like. It looks like she's just strapped shit tons of like microwave equipment to herself or something. So it's very bulky and it's very unrefined, which, yeah, that's cool. If they're starting that way, it's kind of a nice idea.
Yeah. You get someone to be around for eons and they can refine it and you get character progression and it's a child that's going to be beating up criminals and it's going to be great.
Exactly.
Is it still meant to be 6 episodes?
I don't know. The only thing episode numbers that I know is that Bonnie's going to be 18. Other than that, I haven't a clue.
I'm assuming everything is the same.
Is Born Again next? Are we on this?
Not quite. We have the thing that's only made for me coming next. I don't think anybody else is bothered. But personally, I can't wait for winter 2023 to 2024 to see Agatha Coven of Chaos. Because, come on, it's Catherine Hahn. That's all you need to know.
House of Harkness, hasn't it?
House of Harkness.
Yeah, they changed the name,
Coven
of Chaos. Yeah.
But
Coven of Witches, does that suggest more than one witch or bitch?
Probably, but I think they probably changed the name to avoid comparisons with House of M because it's not really anything to do with that.
Right. That's a good shout. Yeah. Oh my God, they're doing House of Mutants in a witch show. Yeah, maybe that's changed that.
I hope that there's.
Didn't even think about
it. I mean, more Catherine Hahn because it's amazing because she's great. I hope that there's still elements of. Was in sort of WandaVision. I don't want it to be like full-on sitcom vibe.
No,
I hope it's comedy, you know. you can play with the genre a bit.
Yeah. She's clearly been fucked about a bit by the Hex anyway in terms of she's been stranded there to be this sitcom character. Like, will you have that kind of bleeding and she's kind of like trying to break the fourth wall but then realising that there's no audience there kind of thing. You're going to like...
Right, yeah. Like a reverse anti-WandaVision. Yeah. Anti-WandaVision,
And apart from that, we don't really know what's...
Nothing.
Do we know anyone else?
No, they haven't revealed anything, but that's the end of next year, the start of 2024, so there's plenty of time. But yeah, I'm with Connor in that naming it Coven of Chaos suggests that it'll be her leading a group rather than on her own, so that could be funny.
So could it be the I know we got the episode 8 sort of flashback of her being sort of exiled by the other witches and then her killing them all, but is it just going to be... let's find out what she was like before she became the Great Witch and then jump forward to then her being in the sitcom thing. And then she's going to suddenly remember that Wanda Maximoff is around and then she's going to do bibbidi bobbidi boo and save her. And it's going to be a Wanda Agrippa round 2 finale. Like, is that kind of what it is? Because I don't see this being part of the Secret Wars.
I don't think so.
Personally, I kind of hope not, because that seems like a cop-out. Like, part of me wants it to be that she, like, escapes from Wanda's whatever spell, and she just finds, like, mistreated, like, really minor mystical characters from the Marvel comics and forms, like, a group with some of the funnier, like, really crap magician characters and stuff, you know? I'm going to move to spring 2024, mainly because my devices are all dying, but never mind. And because that's the one you all wanted to talk about, Born Again. Matt Murdock's back in the MCU with an 18-episode series.
Born Again, bitches. But for this time, you've got 3 seasons worth of episodes. You've got
So didn't they do the Born Again storyline in season 3 on Netflix? Are they just going to repeat it?
Yeah. It was loosely adapted. But yeah, season 3 was Born Again, from what I understand anyway. So it does feel weird. But then I think the title's more of a, not a fourth wall break, but an allusion to,
I think you're right, yeah.
Just kind of a, yeah, I'm back, I'm born again. It's not a soft reboot. It is a soft reboot, and I'm not totally, like, not how you remember me from, you know, 5 years ago. But I am back, I'm born again, bitches, and I'm here to stay. You know,
officially in the MCU, yeah.
Yeah, which, the, as long as it's a soft reboot in terms of the focus and the content, but still a continuation, like the series on Netflix did happen, because, you know, from what heard from Kevin Feige and the inclusion of Kingpin and Matt Murdock in both Hawkeye and Spider-Man No Way Home has proved that, yeah, those, that stuff did happen, but it's not going to be essential to you to see it, to get it, because we can play with these characters a bit more. So it would be nice that, you know, you do get some payoff of, I hope it does build on the character from the past 3 seasons. And I hope that maybe it, that maybe not, I'm not expecting in this season, maybe if we get something else, or, you know, hell, a Daredevil movie, that I hope we get some reprieve for Bullseye, how he was left at the end of season 3, because that was kind of set for an arc in season 4. It's a shame that the creative team that were on Daredevil aren't on this version of Daredevil, but they were on Moon Knight. Kind of, it's strange how that all works, because, you know, they had all those plans for season 4 written up, and it would have been nice to kind of, you know, maybe not do it directly, but kind of be like, tell this bit of your story, but we want it to link in this way. D'Onofrio's confirmed, which is a given, which is nice, because, you know, it'd be nice, because obviously Kevin Feige said that, you know, even Spider-Man will be going into the street level. It's kind of, we've got, a, you know, the big heroes and we've got the street level ones, Spider-Man going in to work more with the street level heroes. Hopefully that means we get, hopefully that means probably a Spider-Man movie with Vincent D'Onofrio Kingpin in it, which I fucking the aspect of. But yeah, it's just nice to have Charlie Cox back, because I think he has been, you know, the one that everyone said, like, at least him back. Like, and we've had him back in Spider-Man. We're getting him back in all these things now, and we're getting... Is 18 episodes too much, you think, Mike?
It depends what they do with it, because I was never one of the people that complained about being like 12 episodes plus or whatever on Netflix. I think if they've got the story to do it, they could do it well. Having said that, season 2 of the show on Netflix did falter after the first like 6 or 7, but that was because they did the ninja storyline, which if they had a better storyline, it might have been fine, because season 3 worked. But yeah, I think it depends what they're doing with it, and it depends a lot on the supporting cast. Like, I really hope they bring Deborah Wall back as Karen and Eldon Henson as Foggy. And if you focus on their sort of stories and stuff as well, it could really work, you know?
They're rumoured to be signing on or have signed on to return this.
They have to reprise.
Maybe an announcement at D23 or the Investor Day or something like that.
For me, that's what really worked about season 3, is that it had the same number of episodes, but it spent a good 2 to 3 dealing with Karen Page's story. And I think that was... really well done and compelling, and Deborah's a good enough actor to that you can follow her even if she's not a superhero and not wonder, like, oh, where's the dude with the batons this week? You know?
Yeah,
100%.
Or dumb femme fatale love interest. Save me, Daredevil man, save me. Yeah.
It built such a world within, like, even just within Daredevil itself, that, you know, those characters work better than that.
If they are doing the actual Born Again storyline from the comics, then it would make sense to make us sort of fall more and more in love with Karen Page, because by the end of the series, she did.
Oh, shit.
That is true.
Spoiler alert. We're a comic over like 20 years old.
People know this, surely. That was like the defining moment in Daredevil comics. But
I didn't. You ruined my feelings, damn it.
Yeah. like you said, like hopefully there's no sag in the middle. What else are they going to do within the 18 episodes? Is it just going to be that? I feel like
that storyline. That storyline as well is so intriguing that it can last 18 episodes, because the whole idea of it being Kingpin's found out who he is, but instead of being petty or whatever, it's just like, I'm going to ruin Matt Murdock's life and empty his bank accounts and get his girlfriend addicted to drugs and porn, and eventually he's just going to be broken down as a man because he's going to have nothing left. And that's his, like, seeing that progress as a drama over those episodes would be really interesting. So if they do that, it'd be awesome.
But hopefully not Disney-fied. Of course,
yeah.
It's
yeah, just exactly.
This was the Netflix team, the same team, then you would know it would have that same sort of quality. All right, they would have to change something because it's Disney Plus and family-friendly streaming service, but
I'd argue that stuff like Moon Knight has pushed more in that direction.
Definitely pushed the boundaries, for sure.
Plus, this isn't that far off the back of Blade, so by then they might have R-rated stuff. And they've already confirmed Marvel Zombies is going to be R-rated when that comes out, so the cartoon anyway.
No, of course. You know, there's hope. Daredevil's got Frankie's got hope in Daredevil, clearly. He just said, yeah, fine, have as many episodes as you like.
How many? You pick a number. Episodes you can do, Vincent. 18.
Next release, we're two parts away from the end of season of Phase 5, sorry, now. The next release on May the 3rd of 2024 is something else we've already had the setup for and that got announced. It's Captain America New World Order. New title, but we know it's going to have the Sam Wilson cap involved, so.
Articles already talking about how they want Chris Evans to be involved in the movie in some way, which is like, let's just let Sam be Captain America now. Chris has energy, Anthony Mackie.
And Bucky Barnes, Sebastian Stan. Surely you've got to have the duo in it.
Oh, yes. I mean,
they are Captain America.
They've just, like Sebastian joked that, you know, if Anthony has anything to do with it, he won't want me anywhere near that movie. But we shall see. I'm really excited
it's the same guys that did the show as well, though, because I liked Falcon and Winter Soldier, and it is Malcolm Spellman who's coming to do the movie to write that as well. So hopefully it'll be very of that vibe. Sorry.
Paradox is rumoured to be signed on for it.
Yeah.
So we'll... that's interesting. I mean, I like that franchise will continue, but it's going to be completely different. You know, it's got, like you said, the creative team behind Falcon and Winter Soldier that I think by the end of it was a pretty decent, you know, show and adaptation of like that, you know, transition of that character. We're going to get Captain America for everyone. Like they said, the main thing is how do you represent America now? And that's kind of the challenge that they're going to find in real life, right?
It was really brave, especially at the minute, to adapt Red, White, and Black and do with the whole kind of, there was a black Captain America, but nobody knows who he is because he was like government experiments. And, you know, he was the one that they wanted to forget about, the dirty little secret. And it's like, wow, I can't believe you actually had the balls to do that.
Yeah. It's a nice way to sort of like, to cap, unquote, the end of this phase, really.
Well, this and one... there's one left, so I'll just quickly go on to that one. So on July the 28th, we finish a Phase 5 with the Thunderbolts movie, which again, we know they've been building up to. We know it's going to probably feature Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It's going to have Wyatt Russell as US agent, probably maybe Yelena, Black Widow involved, and whoever else they can use as an anti-hero. Or...
I think a couple of weeks ago it was rumoured to like have Yelena Belova, Zemo. John Walker, there was a couple of people, and there was like a surprise, that was a couple of surprise ones in there. I don't know, I'll have to try and maybe find that thing again and pull it up, but there was a couple in it from like past MCU things.
Okay.
Obviously, Thunderbolt Ross may have been included in it at a different, you know, draft of it, but...
RIP, man.
Yeah,
they can still have him be the inspiration for the name and have it be that, like, we lost a great man and he was the one that stood up against superpowered threats, and so we name ourselves the Thunderbolts after him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, you can definitely have Red Hulk, but just not, sadly.
Not the same actor, yeah.
But, yeah, stuff like that. It's been, you know, alluded to, it's going to be their version of the Suicide Squad, which is...
I just think tonally the movie's going to be very similar to that. Ideally, James Gunn's version, not 2016. And, hopefully it will change the genre as well, like a supervillain ensemble done by Marvel and the wonderful mind of the MCU, you know, hopefully is better than just your average ensemble movie. Like, I am excited for Thunderbolts, but again, we don't know anything about
it. It's a fun, crazy way to sort of end the phase. And it's probably not going to be too consequential in terms of the overall...
Multiverse stuff.
The overall status quo of the MCU going forward. It's probably going to, maybe like Civil War, like have that effect for a little bit, but, you know, have to be addressed at some point later on when it gets to the Avengers.
Unless Kang is part of the team, but it's a character that we aren't sure who it is.
Well, Iron Lad is in the Young Avengers, so maybe.
Yeah, well, there you
that
go.
That would be interesting. Mm. I think that's fun. In terms of Phase 5, certainly looks like a lot of fun. A lot more coherent than Phase 4.
Well,
I don't know if that's just me, because I think if we'd have had this before the end of Phase 4, I think we'd have been sort of like, oh, so like you're going to have maybe a few inconsequential stories, but when we get into the crux of it, like everything is kind of important to this, included like what happened in Multiverse was kind of a starting point for the Multiverse saga, because it seems like Doctor Strange will at least be a important figure in terms of maybe the Iron Man figure for this saga.
Right.
Well, the thing is, we don't know what happens until we see the events, because, I mean, they could technically reveal that Doctor Strange was a Skrull, which would explain some of his weird behavior, but also completely flip on our head what we think, you know?
I feel like anyone could walk into Secret Invasion unannounced. They're going to have to put everyone in fucking, like, robes and rags. Anyone could be in Secret Invasion, like, I hope.
Even you at home.
Even us at home.
As we go into 6 and beyond?
Well, Phase 6 is just a lot of gaps with the exception of 3 movies, but I do have some information about some of them, which I can share for you. So in November of 2024, it's not the launch of Phase 6, there is a gap beforehand, but we are finally getting Fantastic Four. I did get some news about that, which I'll read out verbatim because I actually saved it. This is just various other bits of news. So we know that Destin Daniel Cretton is going to be directing Kang Dynasty when we get to it. They've also confirmed that Bassam Tariq is directing Blade. Julius Ona, as you mentioned, is set for Captain America New World Order. And Jake Schreier from Paper Towns is directing Thunderbolts, apparently. The studio is actively hunting for a filmmaker for Fantastic Four, which lost John Watts. So it does say that Feige has confirmed... Well, he didn't want to do it, basically. But Feige has confirmed that it will not be another origin story, because we know that Marvel don't like them. He just says, a lot of people know this origin story. A lot of people know the basics. How do we take that and bring something that they've never seen before? We've set a very high bar for ourselves with bringing that to the screen. So I think that was...
Well,
and then Feige just said these phases are about resetting the MCU and meeting all these new characters. So there you go.
My reaction to that news, thank fuck, we know the story. Doctor Doom is coming just because of Secret Wars. I personally don't want Doctor Doom in the fourth adaptation of Fantastic Four, like straight away. I mean, not to have him in the universe, not to have him be a part of it. I just don't want him being the big bad, because we've even the Roger Corman, Cormack.
They've never really done him right, though, you know?
Doctor Doom is in all the movies. They've got a Rose Gallery. They've got a mole man. They've got a gallery.
Yeah, mole
Who's
man.
Someone else?
The mole mans.
The mole mans.
All of the mole man. Mole man. Like we've said before, is it going to be John Krasinski in it and directing it? Like, where do we stand on it? I'm just looking forward to Fantastic Four made by people that aren't Josh Trank. So,
yeah, people have got it.
With Super Skrull and Annihilus as the villain. If the Skrulls are actually going to be important post Secret Invasion,
maybe you have them deal with the cleanup of the Skrulls from Secret Invasion, and then you have Doctor Doom out there and sort of like, I'll get you one day.
It's kind of weird because they've announced that the close to Phase 6 is going to be 2 Avengers movies in the same year, which is going to be in May, Avengers the Kang Dynasty, and in November, Avengers Secret Wars, which, if you know the comics, you know those two are big stories, and so yeah, people are excited even though we don't really know much about them, so yeah.
But I feel like for that movie all balls can drop anyone can turn up.
I like the Dustin, because I love Dustin Daniel Cretton, because I love Shang-Chi, so I'm looking forward to, especially our kind of like, I'm not really here for the ensemble thing, I'm just here for like do my thing, tell my story, and it's like, do I'm Kang, here. Do the Kang dynasty now, or I kill you. Me, Kevin Feige.
Feige's a real life Laszlo Kraven.
I know that Russo said that Secret Wars would be the only thing that would bring him back, but I'm kind of don't want him to. Like, I don't like, I wouldn't mind if they did, but I'm kind of, you know, let someone a la, because we were talking about, I don't know if you thought this the same, Mike, that, you know, that giving Destin Daniel Cretton Kang Dynasty, like it was a bit like out of field for like that choice, because you think they would have gone for a Peyton Reed, or, you know, if he wasn't pissed off by them, a James, I think, would have been a shoe in for a kind of Avengers thing. Because I know that Peyton Reed or and that, so like, would he have done the ensemble piece that they could have?
Well, I would have put my money on somebody like Destin Daniel Cretton or Ryan Coogler, looking at what money they made them and the films that they made. I thought you would have expected that. And in fact, it'll be Coogler that does Secret Wars, you don't know. But yeah.
I would take it for Secret Wars 100%. I mean, I'd be down. In terms of, like, I think, you know, still working like recurring directors, I think he's one of the best.
Yeah.
Like, for like in Star and stuff like that. And it'd be great to see him actually, like, you know, tackle an Avengers movie, but then all that, you know, make him think, you know what, I don't really want to do a Black Panther 3, I'm kind of a bit knackered,
because
an Avengers movie kind of does that to people. You know, like John Eden. I couldn't think of, I think it's an out of field choice, but I'm really, because I love Shang-Chi, one of my favourite. I like the films that have been, you know, they link slightly to the wider universe at play, but it's also like it's its own self.
They're softer.
I love Shang-Chi. I've really No Way Home, I think I like just, you know, the nostalgia that gave, and closing of the 20-year circle of Spider-Man in film is like,
of course, yeah.
Of that style, I think, like, the fight stuff in Shang-Chi was just, like, phenomenal.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
If you look. But, Secret Wars, man.
That's the thing I was going to ask about, because if they're doing Secret Wars, do you think that one of the gaps before that is going to be the inevitable X-Men introduction, or are they going to introduce them in Secret Wars as, like, this is one of the realities that's clashing with ours, is the Fox X-Men or another universe where there's mutants or what?
A plot twist in Kang Dynasty, because I just think, well, it would be a bit sudden if all of a sudden the mutants are in Secret Wars. Something's got to happen in Kang Dynasty.
Well, they've already introduced like two or three of them, because we've had the big Kamala Khan reveal, and now we're getting Namor, so they're seeding it bit by bit, but yeah.
But the Kamala Khan thing's a bit, you know, she's an Inhuman. That was a bit annoying. But because if rumors are to be believed, that then like Patrick Stewart will be back in Secret Wars, along with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. And if the rumors are to be believed about the contractual obligations when they bought out the Fox rights to X-Men, is that they can't recast or make any new X-Men version of characters or movies until 2025. So that does kind of line up, but like not a lot of time to be like, and here's the X-Men and this is why you care, but it may be, I don't know. Or would they leave it till after and sort of give them a proper space to breathe? But then you're kind of like, you know, a lot of these characters are dead, all the good ones you like. Well, overall, I think it was definitely a big mic drop kind of moment, I think, because it was clarity, like we said. It was excitement for other stuff we didn't know was coming, other stuff we had an inkling of. Obviously, we got first looks at Black Panther. We got a better look at She-Hulk. We got a bunch of products that maybe people aren't as excited for as others, but, like, you know, X-Men 97, man, stuff like that. Yeah. You know, everything, there is something for everything. And I'm excited to find out what the rest of Phase 6 is and where that sort of leaves us off for this saga, and whether hopefully we'll get, like, we'll learn all about that, and obviously stuff will chop and change and be added, I assume, like, you know, it always happens with these kind of things. But anything that we haven't heard about yet, because we know that of the trademark, well, the rumored trademark list, a lot of it turned out to be true. There's still stuff on there like Red Guardian Generation, a new adaptation of The Runaways, Hercules, the supposed title of the Shang-Chi sequel, Shang-Chi and the Wreckage of Time, Midnight Suns adaptation.
I think that was already revealed Black to Knight be a video Origin. Game because this came out, by the way.
Oh, Midnight Suns. Yeah, that is a game. Yeah, yeah.
But I want it now. I want an adaptation. Obviously, Young Avengers in some capacity. Celestials and other such things all the way up until 2030. So will any more of those things that haven't been revealed yet be revealed? Because, you know, I'm interested to see.
Shang-Chi too, is the same. Shang-Chi.
Yeah, I think series. That Shang-Chi is like, that's a great title.
But that could potentially tie with...
Into the Kang stuff, and then that's sort of that's like Destin's test run of
Heck, Destin's is Destin. Is that a thing?
He's signed on for the sequel and also a Disney Plus series of the Ten Rings following Jay Ling, and a apparent rumored Wonder Man show.
Wonder Man. Yeah, that's
Some of the stuff that we know wasn't properly talked about, like we said, Lou said the Halloween special, the untitled Wakanda Disney Plus series, which there was an Okoye rumoured one. We don't know if those are the same thing or two completely different entities. Armor Wars, we still don't know what the fuck's going on, but it's still happening. Wonder Man, we know. Nova, rumoured to get a Disney Plus adaptation, possibly a movie, but that's unclear. The current state of Deadpool 3, where that's going, we don't know about that yet, but, you know,
it's got to be
more stuff to be. Oh, that's
the, hello. That's I thought someone else joined the chat. I was like, who's that?
The Ironheart stuff.
That's the Ironheart Mark 1 armor. Yeah,
that's delicious. I can't wait.
Sexy.
No, don't say that. She's a kid.
The armor is sexy.
Yes, yeah. Well done.
Sexy. Anyway.
And obviously a Spider-Man 4 of some kind has been talked about by Kevin and Amy.
I do co-run two different podcasts. One that is all about movies called the Silver Screen Podcast. You can also check us out on Hit or Miss Star Trek Podcast, just reviewing all things Star Trek. We are about to start our third series, which is based around time travel. And we have a few good interviews and stuff on that channel as well. You can find us... links to everything are on the two Twitter pages, which is @podcast_screen for the Silver Screen, or @HOM Trek, that's Home Trek for Hit or Miss Star Trek. And then you can just type in the name of the podcasts onto like Instagram or Facebook and find us. But we're also always linked on all videos and Twitter pages and stuff. So do look us up.
Very well done. Very well said.
Yes. And if you really want a... an episode that goes off the rails, you can listen to when we talked about what we do in the shadows, because that was a fun one.
You still only came second in the off the rail stakes to the episode a couple of weeks later when I had We Pay for Your Floor reviewing Chicago, which was the maddest 2.5 hours of my life.
I still need to finish the episode. That's great, honestly.
It's great.
Please check out all of Mike's stuff. He's become a dear friend. You can follow @PacyTube across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok for some reason, even though there's not really much on there, but, you know, hey-ho. If you want to send an electronic mail,
then send it to... I was going to say my personal email. You don't want none of that. NerdBiblePodcast @gmail.com. It's been a long day. Some of us work 9 to 5, you know.
Excelsior! In the epic words of Arnie, I'll be back. Thank you.